Just say a prayer for him as he's coming on. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for Colin, the blessing that he is to his family and to this family, Lord. We thank you for the time he's taken to put together the words he's going to share this morning. And we just pray a blessing to those people who hear them today, Lord. Thank you for coming.
Well, good morning, church. How are you all doing this morning? Are your hearts open and ready to receive? That's the main thing, isn't it? Open ears and open hearts. This morning we are continuing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But before we commence, I'd like to ask us all a very pertinent question, whatever pertinent really means, and that is, do we all really want everything and all that God has for us?
Yes.
We would all say yes to that, I'm sure. For whoever's born again of the Spirit of God, I would think we'd find it very hard to say, no, I don't want that. It wouldn't make sense, would it? You wouldn't be wise, really. So as we continue, let's get the right clicker to get right this time. We want to take our reading again from Corinthians concerning the gifts of the use of the spiritual gifts from 4 to 11. Let me read that to you. Now there are varieties of gifts for the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Actually, that would be a really good topic or subject to study, the effects of the Holy Spirit. But that's digressing. Okay. Verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. For what? For the common good. Not necessarily for ourselves, but for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. And finally, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as he wills, not as we want, as he wills. So then, let's put this on. We're going to look at two of these gifts this morning, found in verse 8, which I've just read. So we'll move on. The gift of the word of knowledge, and also the gift of the word of wisdom. The meanings of the words knowledge and wisdom, we'll explain now and get into it, because there is a slight difference to what is going to come out. This word wisdom in the worldly sense, it's fleshly and carnal. In the Greek, the word knowledge, first of all, is the word gnosis, where you get the word Gnosticism and Gnostics. The world seeks for its knowledge and its wisdom through learning, obviously, the things in the world. Knowledge, as in the Oxford Dictionary, I'm sure you would agree, is the gathering of facts, information, and skills acquired through experience or education. Yes? Yeah. Agree with that. Wisdom in the Greek is the word Sophia, which comes from Sophistes, who was a Greek intellectual man full of knowledge and wisdom, supposedly. He was a master and teacher. Wisdom, defined in the dictionary, is the ability to make sensible decisions and judgments which we acquire through experience, knowledge, and understanding. You would agree with that? Yeah. Mankind lives in two different worlds. This is very important that we understand this as Christians. Maybe any young Christians here, this is going to help you a lot to understand. The natural realm is that which we see and live in. Would you agree? The spiritual realm, however, is that which is unseen and which God wants only experienced, born again believers to live in. I'll explain that if you want to be perverse and argue that. It will come to that. 1 Corinthians 2:14, 15 is a good example of God's word explaining this, that it says in that scripture that the natural man that receives not the things of the Spirit, perceives not the things of the Spirit, neither are they understood, or can he understand them, for they are spiritually discerned, appraised, judged. That's what it means. But the spiritual man, in verse 15, says the spiritual man, or that's us that have been born again of the Spirit, judges, discerns, appraises, if you like, all things. But we are judged of no man. It's only God that judges us. And the world can seek to judge what we say about spiritual things, but they cannot know or understand them. So moving on. I thought I'd add this because it's important to know, this is concerning the world. However, people who involve themselves in occult practices, and there are many of those, open themselves to what can be described, what I describe as the dark realm of the spirit world. It's not the area that God wants us, obviously, as Christians to be in. And these people, you know, they go into all sorts of weird and dark things, and it's only going to do them damage. Moving on. For God's people, we read in Deuteronomy 19, and I believe that scripture hasn't changed, because it's in the Old Testament. For New Testament, God's people are absolutely forbidden to do these things. What are those things? For example, reading horoscopes, maybe looking into reading spiritual books on divination and seeking to know the future by different means. There's so many different things, but we shouldn't even think about getting into that area just for even for interest, because it's totally forbidden by God. Actually, in the Old Testament time, the people of God, when they found out doing this, they were stoned to death. So, not that we would get stoned, but we can be, we are forgiven and we can repent, can't we? When it comes to occult practices, I've just said Christians are not immune to opening themselves up to being negatively affected. Many Christians can be and are bound because they disobey God's laws on this, and they think in their own wisdom, natural wisdom, that they might learn something that nobody else knows, you know, or something that's spiritual. And, you know, I mean, if any of you have or still just look at the horoscope, perhaps, or something, think it's just a little bit of fun, you need to repent. You know, you really need to repent of that. It's not of God. It's not of his world. It's not of his spiritual realm. Very important that you understand that. Anyway, moving on. Let's see what God thinks about man's wisdom. I'm going to read a scripture here. I think I'll find it. And there's quite a few. 1 Corinthians 19. For 21. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And that's us. Hallelujah. Also in James, I read these three verses. James 3:13 says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom, God says, is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and even demonic. And you would think, can any wisdom actually be demonic? I'm going to tell you what can be demonic in the sense of wisdom. That is found obviously in the natural realm, in the worldly realm. Demonic wisdom is that which people think that if they, like I said before, go in to anything of the occult, you know, that they will get their revelation for them, what they need in life. You know, there's so many examples you could give, but we haven't got really time for that. But that wisdom, the wisdom of man that seeks to seek the future for themselves or whatever, is wisdom that is demonic. It's inspired, as it were, by Satan, our enemy. Moving on. So what defines God's wisdom? It is simply his divine knowledge and understanding of all things. Yes? Does that make sense to you? Somebody agree with me?
Yeah.
It's this wisdom, obviously, is imparted to us when we come to Christ. It's God's wisdom. When we come to know Christ, we receive a wisdom that is not from the world, the knowledge of things in the world. It's a receive. It gives us knowledge of the spiritual realm, right? This wisdom is that as we grow as a Christian, We get our wisdom from God's wisdom from learning the scriptures, which is all wisdom, isn't it? So as we learn scriptures, you know, it says, you know, do not do this, because if you do this, this will happen or whatever. You know, that is you growing in God's wisdom as a Christian. So that's imparted to us in Christ, God's wisdom. It is given to us to achieve also certain goals in both the natural realm and the spiritual realm. I want to move on from there. Finally, at last, we come to the gifts, the supernatural gifts, the gifts of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. These gifts, though they're, let's put it this way, God's wisdom and the words that are come through the Spirit, the word of wisdom and God's knowledge and God's word of knowledge that comes, are from the same God, the same thing. But in another sense, the gift of the word of knowledge and the gift of the word of wisdom come, which I'm going to show you later at a specific time. But I want to read this Old Testament example of God's wisdom and knowledge. It's an amazing scripture which I learned about a long time ago when I was reading the Word of God. And I thought, wow, that's amazing how we think today that because after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, you know, on the church and people got saved and the gifts of the Holy Spirit were emphasized there. We sometimes think that God didn't, endue power from, people empower them from on high with the Holy Spirit and with gifts. But this is an amazing scripture. I'm just going to read these six verses because they're so good. Now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in all, in understanding and in knowledge and in all kinds of craftsmanship to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and in bronze and in the cutting of stones, for settings and in the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship." Not just one thing. Didn't specialize in one working in gold or in silver. This is amazing. "And behold, I myself have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahizamach of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all who are skillful, I have put skill." And I saw in this that, every one of us have got some sort of skill, some gift, if you like, in God, okay? But these fellows had gifts from God that were given, but then God gave these fellows the special gift of the word of knowledge when they were working with gold, with silver, bronze. It came to them and it opened them up to God's divine understanding of how you actually should work this. And it was for the work in the temple, for the tabernacle in the wilderness. So I thought that was amazing, the Old Testament. There's other scriptures concerning in the Old Testament of how God came upon certain chosen vessels of his to brought them knowledge and wisdom how to complete tasks. Okay, so moving on. What we need to realize is what I was saying before, is that these gifts are specific gifts given at specific times in specific situations to accomplish God's specific purposes, as indeed are all these gifts that are recorded in what we've read. So you've got God's wisdom and knowledge, which we can grow in as Christians in the spiritual realm. And then we have the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, which comes at a specific time for a specific purpose, etc. So there is, it's God's grace, pours out wisdom and knowledge, they are different in a way. Okay, so moving on. The word of knowledge then, when it comes to a believer, reveals things that exist. Things like hidden plans of people's hearts, from the past, the future, and even the present and even the future. In the future tense, this of course can be a prophetic word of knowledge. And there's many examples of these, and we will look at two or three in a minute. Whereas the word of wisdom goes further to tell us what to do with what has been revealed in order to solve a particular situation or problem. These two gifts are together in the scripture in that one verse, and I like to say, walk hand in hand with each other. In a sense, they're different, but they're inseparable in many ways. And that goes for under God's understanding as well. And from these gifts, often the gift of the word of prophecy will come from these gifts. So, go back. So let's look at some examples of the words of knowledge and wisdom given by the Holy Spirit. We have these three. Matthew, let's have a look at Matthew. What you remember, this was Peter's confession. So 13 to 17 says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, 'Who do people say that I am?' And they said," sort of skirting the question, "they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' But he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?'" He's asking his disciples. And then, wow, the revelation came, didn't it, to Peter? He got the word of divine knowledge of who Jesus was. That came at that specific time for Peter. And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Wow. You'd think, well, didn't he know that already? Well, it didn't take him long, did it? One minute he's got a revelation that Christ is the Son of God, and the next minute he's being called that he's serving Satan, really, saying that, "Oh, this thing's not going to happen to you, Lord." You think how easy it is to get a revelation of God, which is true 100%, and we soon forget it, don't we? So let's move on. Acts 5, verses. You remember, for those of you who don't know, Ananias was a disciple waiting in Damascus, serving in Damascus, the body of Christ, and he was visited by Jesus. He came and he spoke. Jesus came and spoke to him. But then Ananias, sorry, I'm in the wrong scripture here. I'm looking at the other one. Right, we'll go to Acts 5. So Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira were a couple who were in Christians in the body of Christ. There, things were happening, and people were starting to give their offerings and selling things to help the church. And what happened was amazingly, well, it wasn't amazing, but very sad. But Ananias and Sapphira, this couple, was trying to trick, for some reason, or deceive the church that they were giving all that they had. Aren't I good? I'm giving all that I have. Let's see what God says. Peter said, getting the word of knowledge. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. That's a heavy stuff, this, isn't it? And with that, he fell down and died in the presence before the disciples. But not only that, his wife also had conspired with him about the same thing, and they were deceived, trying to deceive. Why? It seems ridiculous. Verses 9 and 10 says, then Peter said to her, the wife, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband at the door are at the door, and they shall carry you out as well. Heavy stuff. And with that, she dropped down dead. Now, this wasn't meant to frighten you, but for, in God's purposes, and he's trying to get a thing across, not to say if you sin, you're going to drop down dead. He's not saying that. But it's serious stuff, you know. Peter got the word, very specific word of knowledge at that time. Now let's go to Acts 9, the conversion of Saul. He used Ananias. We'll go straight to the scripture here, Acts 9:10-15. Now there was a certain disciple named Ananias, who lived in Damascus at the time, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias, which was him, come in and lay his hands on him, prophetic, so that he might regain his sight. Immediately Ananias goes to the mind, the knowledge, worldly knowledge if you like, and he answers, Lord, I have heard of this man. You know, many people say that the evil that he's doing to the church, the saints, the Christian. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon thy name. That was the natural knowledge. But the Lord said to him, go. That is the word of wisdom he is receiving, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. For I will show him, how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And indeed, we know that Paul did. But Ananias got such a powerful word, for it was so necessary for him to be obedient, to go after this word of knowledge came to give to Saul. Can you imagine when he went into this house and Saul was there, blinded Saul? He must have been thinking, wow, this is so right, you know, and he laid hands on him and he got healed. Amazing. So, there are many, things in the Bible concerning these words of knowledge and words of wisdom that come at specific times. In these verses, you have visions, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophetic knowledge, all working hand in hand with each other to fulfill the eternal purposes of God, not man. Hallelujah. King Solomon, as you will know, is probably the classic example, classic being spelt wrong there, of a servant of God who desired knowledge and wisdom above anything else in his life at the time he was called to rule God's people. I would encourage anyone who is unfamiliar with this scripture or this read it. It is so encouraging and amazing what God can do with somebody that's just wanting what God wants for them. Marvelous story. So then, Colossians 2:3 reads, "In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." 1 Corinthians 3:21-22 says, "All things are yours in Christ." That covers quite a lot, actually. But most of the time, we don't really believe it. We slip up there. We allow doubt and unbelief to steal from us. Those two elements, if you like, words, are like a cancer, spiritual cancer to us. Doubt and unbelief. Right, before I share a couple more things in finishing, I'll just have that drink of water I've got here. Oh yeah, Timothy in Timothy 1:6-7 says, "Fan into flame the spiritual gift God has given to you." And there'll be many of us here probably that say, "Well, I don't think I've got a spiritual gift." Well, God says you have. You have. You're in Christ. It's all there on that table lying before us, you know. Well, all these gifts you can call upon the Lord to use you. He gives them, though, when he wills, as he wills. But we've got to be open to receive them. I'll share this. I haven't had a tremendous amount of gifts of knowledge and wisdom in the past, but I know that I have because I've been proven right. At one time when I was ministering with somebody, to a girl that had a problem with heroin, big problem, and she wanted to get free, but she was involved in other things. We were praying with her, and we were getting somewhere with her, but then there seemed to be a block. And I said, "Let's just pray and see what God says." And I got this clear word that she's got an occult book. I said, "There's something about an occult book here that you've got. Is that right?" And she said, "Occult book. No, I can't think." And Oh, do you mean a book on Satan or witchcraft? I said, "Yes." She said, "Oh, it's under the bed." So she went and got the book out. But I didn't just get the word of knowledge, I got a word of wisdom at the same time, which was that the Lord has given me Acts 19:19, which I knew by knowledge. That wasn't the word of knowledge, that was just knowledge that I had, right? Acts 19:19, bonfire. That was where people came and burnt all their artifacts and books, you know, of the occult. And I said, "The word of wisdom has come." And I said to her, I said, "God wants you to get that book out now, put it in the bin, but don't just put it in the bin, you've got to burn it." So I left that with her, actually. But that was one time. There was another time I got a word for a young Christian lad that I knew well, and God told me very clearly that this lad, in 3 weeks' time, was going to meet a girl that was going to lead him away from his new faith in God. I said, the word of wisdom was, do not listen or do not be taken in by this girl's beauty and forget what else it was. That happened. It happened to the on the right on the button, and he gave into that and he was led away from Christ. There's two or three other things that I have had in the past. But I don't know what I've said. Anything else to go here? No. So I think it's important, you know, that we understand that we can all be used in these gifts. God wants us to have them. If you don't believe that you can have these gifts, or that you can move in them, or you're sort of, you've got, an inferiority complex, or, you know, you've got no, what's the word I'm looking for? Think of a word that you are not able to receive or whatever. It's a lie. These gifts are for us all to be used, but it's to be used for other people generally. There's only one spiritual gift in that sense, which is for the believer, and that's the gift of speaking in tongues to edify our spirits. Yeah. Of course, we can give messages in tongues as well. But anyway, I just want to leave it there and encourage you, you know, to be open to receive and to be used of God in these things. Let me just pray before we go. And I think the Lord just reminded me that I can't just preach on something like this and not get or give a word of knowledge. And I got two words of knowledge. I asked the Lord if he would help anybody here. And these words of knowledge were, firstly, I got a word saying that there are two people here, and you might find this strange, that choose to love music and songs, pop songs, world of music, or whatever, in the world. And God's saying, you're choosing these rather than to listen to my spiritually anointed songs. Now that's for them, these two people specifically, okay? God's not saying that you can't listen to music that's in the world, obviously. But for these two people, it's a specific blockage to receiving liberation in worship in the Spirit. That's what I got. So that you can test that whoever you are. And the word of wisdom to go with that I got was, seek me in a time of fasting, not from food, from worldly music and song. Seek me and soak yourself in anointed songs of worship. That's what God wants you to do. The other, the other word I got was, there is one woman here who was wronged by her sister as a young woman, and by what she said to you, and those derogatory remarks have been pushed down and covered over in your soul, which has caused a bit of arthritis in your fingers and possibly in your knees. The word of wisdom for you is forgive your sister through contacting her, and God will heal and restore you both physically and spiritually. Praise God. Father, I just pray that we would all be open and willing, Lord, obedient to hear what you're saying, that we would be willing to give you space, give you time to speak in our lives. Just simply pray that in and through the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.